Some exciting news today in the drone industry, the launch of American-owned and operated Anzu Robotics with two separate drones released. I got a chance to go one-on-one with Randall Warnes as part of a bonus Props Clear episode. Of course, this is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only, so none of this constitutes legal advice. Fasten your seatbelts and let's get started. Hey, Randall.
Hello.
It's been a few months since we spoke, and now you've got this big announcement. You've been kind of teasing it on social media platforms for at least a month now, I'd say, getting people really excited, showing that, you know, green smudge hanging out all over, not being really sure what it was really going to be. And you came out today, talked about the Anzu Robotics drone. You have two different types. You've got a regular one for inspection, then you've also got one with thermal capabilities. 56 times zoom, which is awesome. And the one thing that really differentiates your drone from others, it doesn't have connections with some other areas of foreign concern. Is that correct?
So it's U.S. owned company, entirely U.S. owned. The software and the security of the data is all in the United States. The manufacturing is all done in Malaysia, with most of the componentry sourced in Malaysia, with some components sourced in other places, and some components still sourced in China. But what differentiates us is that we have world leading technology, best drone technology, almost hands down, in this size and type. And it is rid of those geopolitical concerns that are constantly threatening the scaling and use of certain drone technologies. So what we've done is we've built it in a way that keeps it affordable, but also is highly secure in the United States with U.S. ownership, so that it's beholden to U.S. laws and regulations in how we do our business. So it should quell any concerns about working with a drone manufacturer, but you still get the drone that it's like that's been changed in the game for a lot of years. So we're really proud of what we've been able to put together on that front.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're pretty much the public lead on Anzu Robotics. You did mention during the webinar that the sensor is the only piece, the main piece that does come from China. But in terms of, you know, the firmware, the software, the security aspect of it, that's all, you know, not in China, that's US. And that's a huge benefit because now companies that may not be able to buy products that come from China can actually operate a drone of this caliber, correct?
Yeah, so being in the space 10 years, this country of origin stuff really started poking its head just before, I would say before COVID, like 2018, maybe going into 2019, geopolitics really started shaping around drone technology, with concerns about, mostly just concerns about cybersecurity, and drone manufacturers answered that by having third-party tests that were comprehensive, having U.S. agencies like the Department of Interior and NASA do their own audits about cybersecurity, which there was no concerns. But there was a report by the Department of Homeland Security. I don't know what year. I don't even want to try to guess because I'll probably get it wrong. But they were like, no, there's significant concern by the U.S. government that there's cybersecurity issues with using certain Chinese manufactured drones. And those still were responded to and saying, look into the proof of this. It can't just be speculation. You should have to find it. But that has not eased. And we've seen, you know, the Chinese drone banning in the state of Florida for government procurement, using any government funds. And we've seen, you know, similar copycat type things spread across the country.
Yeah.
For Anzu Robotics, what we build is something that is fitting that need for an organization that says, look, you can't buy drones that have a country of origin of China, and that you want good quality drones within a price point that you can achieve and afford and scale with, and that when you're concerned about the security of your data, we have certifications and audits and all of those things that are backing that you don't have that concern. So really, you mentioned like the NDAA compliance component thing, like a thermal sensor is hard to source. You can source them in very few places. And I don't personally believe that a thermal sensor has any intelligence in which can transmit data, but it's listed on the NDAA. So we go, okay, NDAA wants to regulate or lay out these guidelines. Mm-hmm. We do not fit those guidelines today. So if an organization says, I need it to be NDAA compliant, mm-hmm. we would say, apply for a waiver, or let's go to NDAA and see if we can get something direct from them. But what we're trying to achieve is like an identity of ourselves, which is not everything to everyone. We're not a blue UAS provider. We're not a green UAS provider. And right now, NDAA compliance is up in the air. We just want to be able to provide our solutions for those people that have been like, I used to fly a really great drone and now I've been precluded from that, and to give them an option that they can continue to work with.
And you did get asked during the press conference about, you know, Florida. They're like, you know, someone mentioned, can we buy it in Florida? And you were like, look, like, let's see what we can do. You had a very positive energy about, you know, let's see what this is capable of, which I like to hear. One of my favorite lines, I think, in the hour and 10-ish minute, you know, mm-hmm. webinar was you said the drone industry needs to be unleashed. And I think that was such a perfect line. You were talking about, you know, the next phase of aerial robots, BV loss, you know, beyond visual line of sight. You said, especially for third world countries, there's so many amazing uses, organ transplants. You said beyond just the delivery of your ice cream or your cookies at night, right. you know, or for an evening, you know, the drone industry really needs to just be, you know, thrown into the mix in even a bigger way than it's happening right now. And I just love that line.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think, you know, when we look at technology can serve many purposes when you start unwrapping it. So if you look at like cars are the purpose of taking a person from point A to point B. You put a truck bed on it. Now it's carrying some of your materials from point A to point B. You put you'd make an 18-wheeler with a big truck bed. You take something from a ship or from a train and you put it on a mm-hmm. truck. And now you deliver it to someone's, you know, to an organization's loading dock. And then it's like, okay, well, now I need to move people. You start taxis as an infrastructure. And then you're like, wait, but I have a car. I could be a taxi. And then you have things like Uber. And we look at how the progression of cars has happened. And the only thing that would keep Uber from happening or taxis from happening is regulations that say you can't drive in another person's car. Mm-hmm. You can't own a car and drive other people who are, you know, regulating the consent of that or who can do it. And so having a driver's license is enough for you to operate a vehicle, any Absolutely. Vehicle within a certain class. Having a drone pilot license should be probably more robust to get a Part 107 with more practical tests and things like that, but that's a different discussion.
Yes.
When you have this technology, you can literally save lives if you unleash it. If you don't over-regulate it. BV loss keeps you from doing long linear inspections of power lines. So you're putting guys men and women have people in general.
It's true. Right? Yes.
You're putting people on bucket trucks and you're lifting them up mm-hmm. next to high voltage power lines to do inspections. Why? Why are you risking that exactly. kid's parent to, you know, a kid's parent to go do their job and maybe they don't come home because they get zapped? You can have mm-hmm. a drone do that. We don't have drones doing that as much as we could because of BV loss regulations. We need to secure the national airspace. We need to keep it, you know, secure. That's why we have things like remote ID being part of the game and traffic management being part of this game. We are, as an industry, we're complying with those things. But then the regulators need to give a little bit to where we can actually achieve what's possible with the technology that exists today. And further regulation on country of origin is just the ban of Chinese drones will decimate this entire industry for years. We will set ourselves back. A lot of people will lose their jobs. A lot of people that I've talked to over the last 24 hours would lose their jobs. There's just not software developers. There's not drone service providers that can afford higher priced drones. It just shrinks and you can't manufacture at scale. There's so many problems and I'm trying to address those problems and solve those problems.
With ANZU,
the best I can to contribute to the story. So regulation is a tricky thing. And sometimes I think regulators are not as educated or informed about the specific issue. I've been in drones for 10 years. I've given some insight, but I think that a lot of the folks that we really wish were sitting on those panels on the, what was the drone advisory committee? I can't remember what they call it anymore, advising the FAA or advising the White House or advising legislators. I wish that they weren't wrapped up in lobbyist dollars, and I wish that they weren't wrapped up in self-interest, because I think that for my personal self-interest, Anzu Robotics, is that you would ban all Chinese manufactured drones, because now I'm single source of getting that technology. My true feeling is do the opposite, get rid of any country of origin ban, let it be about who makes the best technology and who has the relationships you want to build with. So, you know, I'm willing to put my money and my effort where my mouth is, where I just think that the whole conversation's fallen off the rails a little bit.
And, you know, I just spoke with Erin Raisler. That episode's up on my YouTube page and up on podcast platforms. She is Vantis UAS, or she's been working with that in the Dakotas to try and get that, you know, that highway in the sky throughout the entire country, working with Montana, working with, you know, she listed a whole group of states, New York, Oklahoma, that she's hoping to be able to make that happen so that there is more of a uniform UTM system across the entire country, which can help all these drones talk to each other and make the airspace safer.
For sure. And when we talk about uniformity, saying country of origin is the way that we ban drones is silly, because it's really about cybersecurity. Okay, well, show me a cyber secure drone, prove that via a third party penetration test. And if you change this firmware, you got to go through that penetration test again. You have trusted sources saying, yes, this is good or it's not. You allow the manufacturer to fix those things. That's really the standardization it should be. There should be a protocol, a list of requirements to be considered a trusted source of drone technology for data capture, for industrial use or whatever. And that should be it. The problem is that it's not about that. It's about spending to reduce competition. And I think that spending money to reduce competition is so un-American. It is so uncompetitive. It is so anti-capitalism. And I think that what we're standing for is the opposite of that. What we're standing for is to make the best technology win and enable life-saving and efficiency encouraging capabilities of drones to be fully at anyone's disposal. We've democratized the air with drones. It's no longer if you have a private pilot license and an airplane, like that was a different game. We've democratized the data capture from the sky, and now we're trying to scale that back, and I think that that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and so when you say spending money is the opposite, you mean spending money as a company or as, you know, as a...
I mean spending money to reduce competition, meaning lobbying dollars and going after regulatory change rather than having better technology. If you're spending on R&D and you win, that means you're better performing, right? Mm-hmm. But if I spend money to bribe a judge at an ice skating competition, you know, is that really how we want to see the Olympics won? No, we want to see the best competition out there. Even with the stuff going on in Russia, you know, Russian citizens are going to be at the Olympics. They're just under a different flag. You still let people compete, and you let them compete with the same rules as everyone else. And if they win, you play their song and you let them, you know, put their hand on their heart or whatever and look at their flag, and they get to have that pride. I think that it's so silly to call ourselves we're worried about domestic capability of drone manufacturing in the United States, but then we play a game that's just not. It's an un-American game.
On a lighter note, I did look up what an Anzu is.
Yeah.
It is a fire-headed mythological eagle, and it can breathe fire and water, and it comes from Mesopotamian, Mesopotamian history, which I remember learning about in probably fourth grade social studies. So, but I don't think I learned about the Anzu. So, it's a pretty cool creature that has these wings on its back, and So, by the way, that was very cool. I did want to know about the origins of that.
As a new company that's just trying to, every bird name is taken in the drone space 100 times over. If it flies, it's been talked about. I don't think Anzu has been involved in any other drone related venture.
I haven't heard of it.
Yeah. So I think it was just like there's so much similarities between names. It stands out. It has some sort of background as far as like something that flies and something that is a little bit intriguing, but really it's just a name that can be registered and can be spoken. It's four sweet letters, and yeah, that's it. It was just the process of communicating ideas and picking one.
I think the other thing you had mentioned is that there's no geofencing capabilities at the moment with something like this. And that's another point where if someone doesn't know what geofencing is, basically, if there is an area where you cannot fly into some of the drones, if you lift it off and try and fly into that area, it won't go. So at the moment, it sounds like the goal is to, and then that's just like a super simplified version of what geofencing is.
Yeah.
But at the goal right now, I think would be, you know, anyone who does fly the Anzu drone, they just have to be cognizant of the airspace that they're going into or that they're lifting off into.
For sure. I mean, people have heard about stories of drones, whether true or not true, you know, flying around airports, flying around stadiums. These are areas that are considered restricted airspace for drone operations. But if you are the fire chief responsible for that area, or if you are a police officer, or, you know, you have authority to do things in those areas, you with other manufacturers that have geofencing built in, you have to call and you have to reach out and get unlocking capabilities to do what you need to do. And sometimes those last a day, sometimes you could get them for a week. But when you need to respond to your community's needs, and I'm talking specifically in public safety, but this could be for other things as well. If you have the authority to fly, we as a manufacturer should not keep you from flying. And so it really just puts that onus onto the pilot. And if you're a Part 107 pilot, you've went through some element of training of what how to use the national airspace responsibly, and it is up to you as a pilot with that certification and with that as a card holding member of that to know what you're doing. And so you probably shouldn't go take off in a state in front of a stadium or by a stadium and fly over it. You shouldn't be operating near airports. You have to clear that through a tower and have a good reason to fly there and all of those things. So compliance, we definitely encourage it. Everyone should be compliant with every drone flight that you do, but it shouldn't be us to be like holding you back from doing your job, your mission. So that's why we don't have geofencing on our drones.
Are you excited about this?
I have had the best day ever. I am extremely excited about this. You are catching me after 7 hours of nonstop talking about this and responding to hundreds of messages. And, you know, I should reset myself and express that this is what I was made to do. 10 years in the drone space and like the grind that I feel like I have, the unique attributes that I feel like I have mixed with world-leading technology, and being able to put it together to sell to people that I've been listening to for 10 years at every major trade show and literally around the world hearing feedback. Like, I feel like there's not a position in the world I'd rather be than this one right now. Today has been a very exciting launch day for Anzu Robotics, but there is just a heap of work to do. And so maybe you caught me casually responding to questions in a way that doesn't show that this is honestly like the best thing that could have happened to me. And I hope it's like one of the most important turning of the page in the drone industry for a long time.
For what it's worth, I would have asked you this question if you had just started out, if we were talking yesterday or if we were talking tomorrow. So do not fear.
Good. Yeah. I'm like, oh, am I really that beat up? But someone earlier said, you look so tired. I'm like, well, I do have two kids and I have this thing that I've been preparing for. So yeah, I'm like, I'm not like at my straight off vacation spryness after a nap, but I'm holding it together, I think.
You know, I think I count the two drones that arrived to you today, also two of your children as well. So I think you might be able to say you have four kids at the moment.
Yeah.
They're just a little bit smaller.
You know, one thing about being a parent with a business is that it's one area that I've determined to not sacrifice. So like yesterday, day before launch, I have a ton of stuff to do. I still put my stuff down and go spend time with my kids, and I get to do that again today. So it's like, honestly, for people that are our parents or aren't parents or trying to understand the friends that have kids that you and you don't have kids, like it's a constant sacrifice. I would take that job any day of the week over a regular one, but it's like hats off to people that take on the double duty of being a parent and running a business, because it's like, yeah, that balance becomes more and more challenging, and you just find yourself really prioritizing what matters. And so I really believe in the drone stuff, but as kids, like, they'll take up more time than my kids because I dedicate 60 hours a week to it. But it's, yeah.
I get that. My mom, I mean, I don't have kids yet. God willing, I will at some point soon in my life. Like, not soon as in soon, but like, you know, in my life. But my mom was working from home back in 1986, you know, through today. She was doing the work from home life with raising kids before it was a thing. Yeah. During the COVID world. So she'd been doing that for years and years before, and everyone else that was freaking out about having a home office, she's like, I've been doing this with kids for years. Yeah. So I can understand that. But it sounds like we can end on this, but your advice then for working parents who have a business and children is to still find a way to just drop everything and just go hang out with your kids.
I would say that that's how it works for me, and in my dynamic. There's just a choice I've made to be present with the kids, and like, my wife is incredible and gives me the time to do what I need to do and understands when I have to go travel and understands when I have, you know, long days of things that I have to grind out. But I would say my advice is that ultimately we can all push reset on our lives when it comes to our careers and find something else. We could shift, you know, directions. There's people much more inspirational than I will ever be that have went to college in their 40s or got, you know, became a doctor in their 50s. There's all sorts of these stories of people doing incredible things. And it's like, you can push the reset button on your career. You can't push a reset button on getting your time with your kids back and building that dynamic.
How old are your kids?
3.5 and 1.
Oh, that's perfect.
Like, they're not old enough to actually kick my butt, but they kick my butt literally every single day.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they'll be old enough to fly a drone soon.
Maybe. Soon. We'll wait a few years on that, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I'll let you get to all your work and your family. Yeah. But please keep us posted on how Anzu is going. And I'm really excited to see, you know, where it ends up and what happens.
No, I appreciate you. You know that, you know, I would do this regularly. So you can always reach out to me, and I appreciate you just sharing your platform with what I have to say and what I've got going on. So always appreciate that.
Thanks for watching, everyone. If you have ideas or suggestions for future episodes, email me, angelswings.jillian@gmail.com. That's angelswings.jillian@gmail.com. I'll see you later.